I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Holy cow, Clone Wars fans.
Oh my god.
It's the day we've been waiting for 12 years. The Siege of Mandalore has begun. I'm Ryan Nilsson. I'm joined by my co-host. She is an author of Uber Star Wars fan, and we are both mutual gigantic fans of Ahsoka Tano. It's Rachel Goodman. How are you doing, Rachel?
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. I feel like I got exactly what I was hoping for in this episode. So I can't wait to talk about it, all the feelings, and oh my god, R.I.P. Anakin.
Yo, we just gotta emotionally react real quick. You know, this was amazing. This was incredible. This is season 7, episode 9, the first of 4 episodes for the Siege of Mandalore, and holy cow. I just want to talk about moments real quick, Rachel. I just want to talk about moments. You know, life is just a series of moments. And a lot of people feel like, oh, this is your moment. You earn your moments. And this show earned so many moments in this episode.
Yes.
I just want to bravo. I just want to clap it up because this is Star Wars. This is the reason why we fell in love with this brand, this franchise. This is Star Wars, and we are going to be breaking down all the incredible moments from today's episode. I've already watched it 2 or 3 times just because I'm freaking out. I mean, Rachel, I just want to get your overall thoughts, reaction. What did you think of this episode?
Okay, so to put this in context, I have been rewatching Rebels, and I just rewatched the end of season 2. And so for anyone who hasn't seen that yet, I won't give any spoilers for Rebels since we're not talking about Rebels, but there's something that happens with Ahsoka, that's all I'm going to say, and it tied back to this episode 150%, and it was like, oh, and just knowing what we know happens to Anakin, how I feel like he had one more moment with her as like her big brother slash almost like parental figure, maybe not, I wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, father figure, but like definitely bigger brother, you know, loving, supportive person who is there for her, wants to, you know, find out what she's been up to, is like obviously uber concerned about her and why she was on certain planets, but then also he gives her the lightsabers.
Dude. We're gonna get into it. Here's my overall thought. When I saw this image pop up on screen, I don't know if you can see this. This is a Lucas Limited production. Guys, they know that what they have here is saga movie good. It's that quality. And from the jump, you open this episode with a complete different intro. This wasn't the, you know, as Rachel was saying before the show, we didn't get a fortune cookie at the beginning of here. We got, this is a Lucas Limited production. Meaning, and this is what everyone's been saying, this is George Lucas was heavily involved in this final season. This is the last thing that he really oversaw with Dave Filoni. And then we get the main theme from all the movies. That same bleh song that's in all of them. Chills, Rachel. Chills.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my god, it's here. And they know it. Like, how did you freak out when you saw that opening?
I knew there was something we were going to see here that was going to, that was not just like, as much as I love the show in general, I knew this was like a button episode. Like, pay attention to every detail because this is not just,
this isn't your run of the mill.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of every detail, the details we're going to be breaking down today, we're going to go over the opening recap, you know, before each episode. Also, the battle of Yorana with Anakin and Obi-Wan, the call to that ship, and that exchanging of looks between master and old apprentice, as well as Ahsoka arriving on the ship, and then the news of the Coruscant Mandalore departure, the lightsabers. We're going to be breaking all of it down. First up, the recap. There's a ton of we always get some interesting recaps. It's usually of episodes prior. This one's a little different. it kind of just brought us up to speed on a few scenes that, you know, at first I was like, man, I would have loved to see that play out. But seeing it in a recap form, I was like, you know what? That's fine, because this is actually the stuff that would matter. And I want to draw one point of attention, but while I'm pulling that up, Rachel, what did you think of this recap?
I thought it was definitely beneficial. I mean, most of us, we rewatch the movies all the time, and we're rewatching the shows, and like we're always like, I know I'm always like rereading or rewatching the same things just so that I know for a fact what, you know, just so I can keep things chronologically in my brain, because there is a lot. But we needed it, and especially for people who maybe they haven't watched the movies in a while, maybe they are not up to speed on, you know, everything that happened through this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I love that they do that. I love that they, you know, just the same way you would get with any television show, Outlander, for example, like you always get that, you know, beginning where there's a recap of what's going on. And I appreciated that it was done a little bit differently than they usually do in Clone Wars.
Yeah. And I mean, I just want to bring to attention, we've been praising the animation all season, and this recap, look at this change. This is a screen grab, General Grievous in season one. And then that's him for the one shot we get him in this recap.
Yeah.
Do you see how good that looks? This looks like it's in Revenge of the Sith. Like, that is incredible. And also in this recap, I really wanted to bring to attention, guess who that is? That is Kanan from Rebels.
Yes.
Right there on the right. That is
Kanan. Yes, I noticed that.
And his master. Oh my gosh. How, just these details, y'all. These beautiful...
I love the fact that Dave Filoni is,
Like, and we know we're getting right up against Revenge of the Sith. It's about to start. What a great recap, just setting the table for this epic, epic four-episode journey. Moving right along until we get right into a battle, the Battle of Yarana, and it's very reminiscent of the battle in the Clone Wars movie, but it's Obi-Wan and Anakin, and as always, Anakin's got a little trick up his sleeve. What did you think of this sequence, Rachel?
My favorite part was R2-D2,
because
this is what I love, the legacy of R2-D2. He has been a part of the prequels, the originals, and the sequel trilogies, and the fact that it is always the main character. Okay, so not so much Rey, but R2-D2 still is very involved in the sequels. And if you look at Luke and Anakin, I felt like I was also hearing Luke's voice at the same time. Like, even though this is obviously Anakin, I felt like it was a legacy moment where Anakin's like, okay, R2, now. And I felt Luke. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I love the callback to the original.
Would you agree that I think the R2-D2 moment we get here, I thought was better than anything in this sequel trilogy, quite frankly. I think there's a beautiful moment in Episode 8 where he flashes the Leia message. It's amazing. But this was just like classic R2. This is him. Mm-hmm. He's not a huge piece of the plot, but he's there and he's helping move the story forward. I agree. I really love that. I love your comparison to Luke, because I have some more media. We have a ton of media this episode. Get a load of this, Rachel. So this is a parallel I saw in the cinematography. That is Luke in episode 8 looking to face on the First Order, and then check out this reverse shot.
Yes.
That is the same framing, people.
And it's crazy because, oh, man... I love The Last Jedi. So that's exactly what I had in my mind when I was thinking of Luke. And we didn't even talk about this.
I don't mean to like spark a whole Last Jedi Clone Wars, you know, conversation, but I'm just saying, like, that is such considerate detail with framing. Like, you can just tell Dave Filoni he's such a masterful storyteller, where he's telling his own story. He's doing his own due diligence and telling what he wants to share, but he's also honoring the legacy of everything that came before him. And this is also great for chronological sake, because this just parallels. That's what his son does later. Like, it's talking too much.
Yeah. And Anakin just reminds me, or I guess I should say Luke reminds me of Anakin, but because Luke came first, the way that we, you know, cinematically saw this, I would say that Anakin reminds me of Luke, just, you know, all things considered. But that's exactly it, is that when I watch Anakin, I'm like, oh, yeah, Luke and Anakin are so similar. And it's just like, I think that's what really brings out all the emotions in me, because Luke is one of my favorite characters ever in any universe.
I mean, you're not alone there.
Yeah. And so when I see all these parallels, it really, like, it brings out the emotions. And also it makes me sad, because the way that we see Anakin, we know that this is presumably his last meeting with Ahsoka, because she says in Rebels, the last time I saw Anakin, he was rushing off to help Palpatine. So right. I think that was the moment that we got in this episode. And I don't think they're going to see each other until Ahsoka runs into him as Darth Vader. I think that's where we're going.
That's where we're going. And you were right, by the way, with your prediction, because we predict every single week on this show, and you have predicted since day one, or maybe not day one, but maybe since we got the first Ahsoka episode this season, you're like, Ahsoka and Anakin have this meeting. And, you know, I was a little worried about them doing that. And we can just jump to that real quick.
Yeah, and all I was going to say, too, is that what makes me sad is with Anakin, the way that he treats Ahsoka, it makes me sad that he never got to raise Luke and Leia. And right. how he, if he had stayed Anakin, he would have been such a good dad to them. It makes me sad. who knows, right? But
I hear you. I think it does, it's an emotional thing. And I think we just got to... let's get right into the Ahsoka stuff, because the battle ends. There's this incredible like sneak attack where a bunch of the clones are underneath that bridge. They all have jetpacks. They fly up. It's just amazing. And classic Anakin, classic. Oh my God. Hold on. The introduction to Obi-Wan, where you just see the saber and then like, his fit. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The way that they introduced that Anakin was coming back, like, it was such a big moment. But, like, Obi-Wan, I've noticed that this particular season, he seems, I almost feel like, even though he maybe consciously did not know what was going to happen, that maybe his soul kind of did, because I can see some of the grief already coming through with Obi-Wan.
It's already coming through, and they're like, hey, sir, you have a call back on the starship. Better take it up here. And we've seen the moment, I think, since the first trailer a year ago at Star Wars Celebration, where it's Ahsoka Tano, and she's with Bo-Katan and other Mandalorians, and it's this... I'm getting chills thinking about it. Like, isn't it... It's just amazing how 7 seasons of this show... Started with a kids show, a movie that people didn't like, clumsily put together a bunch of episodes. And then you get that feeling when they see each other. Wow. Just, I commend them. But Ahsoka.
Can I say one more?
For sure. Ahsoka lands and they have this amazing interaction. What did you think, Rachel?
So the only other thing I want to say, and then I'll talk about Ahsoka, is that when we see the battle, what I found interesting is that when Anakin showed up, he had the high ground, and Obi-Wan was the one. I just noticed it. I'm like, wow, okay. So anyway.
Yo, that's funny.
High ground and determined what they were going to do.
Well done.
Well done.
That's really good. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Oh, my God. But and then, you know, Rachel, you were speaking a lot about Rebels.
Yes, I love Rebels.
Again, another screen grab, where we first... So this is where we get Ahsoka coming off the ship. Check this shot out, guys. I mean, this might sound like a drastic comparison, but this is like a Messiah-like image where she's just coming off of a ship, all the Mandalorians behind her, and you just know like there's unfinished business. Like, this is a beautiful shot.
And also, she was just so determined that she did not even...
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, like, everyone Anakin, Obi-Wan. Like, she's like, we need to do this now.
We'll catch up later.
Yeah, yeah. We'll I haven't seen later. You in a while, but yeah.
I mean,
this is
and,
important.
And at first, you're like, oh no, are we not going to get this moment?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
They explain the deal. They're like, listen, we know where Maul is. We know what city he's on in Mandalore. Because at first I was like, wait, why couldn't they just do this months ago? And I'm like, oh, of course, it's a whole planet. They know what city he's in. And which is interesting. It's an interesting little wrinkle. And yeah. I just want to commend Bo-Katan here for a second. Bo-Katan, voiced by the incredible Katie Sackhoff, one of my favorite actresses. A biting voice acting performance this entire episode. Like, you could tell she just really wants to get Maul.
Yeah.
And at one point when Obi-Wan doesn't immediately agree to sending the troops, she gives this look right here. And she's like, I told you this was a waste of time. Which was like knives in the side of Ahsoka there. Because she knows, like, oh my god, the Jedi, it's all politics. What did you think of Bo-Katan and just this pitch to get some of the 501st to go with them to Mandalore?
So, okay, I love that. One of the things I really love about the show is that they don't always show you point A to point B. So we didn't necessarily see their discussion about this. We just see that they show up and the Bo-Katan's here. I'm actually on Bo-Katan's side, because especially with what happens, Obi-Wan was actually, I really like Obi-Wan as a character, but there's things that I've seen him do or not do in the prequels that kind of sort of upset me. And this was one of those moments where, even though Obi-Wan made sense, I have to go to the Jedi Council, I have to talk to him about this.
Yeah.
I could just tell that Bo-Katan had a, you know,
there's
she had a
no
plan.
Time. Like, remember, she yeah. said, there's no time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it wasn't being, she wanted to be handled a certain way. And it was not going to go that way.
And, you know, I think that's it's clever, because at the end of the day, she's also looking out for her best interest. And I think she feared she doesn't want any interaction with the council, because she fears that, hey, even if he goes to the council and they get the go ahead, they get the clear.
Yeah.
First off, Maul might get away. So she's worried about time. But secondly, I think if they get a huge amount of the army, if they get a large amount of clones, this might kind of come out of their control. And
yeah.
I think she just kind of wants a few soldiers just for her best interest. And it just so happens to co-align a little bit with the Jedi's best interest, getting rid of Maul. Then we get the Coruscant revelation. Coruscant's under attack. General Grievous is after Palpatine is after the Chancellor, excuse me, and I don't know if you caught this line, but I freaked out when he goes, Mace Windu has sent Shaak Ti to look after the Chancellor, but she's lost
yes.
contact. What an amazing reference to the Tartakovsky Clone Wars animation. I don't know if you've seen that, but that came out before this Clone Wars. It was the other animated one. It was Samurai Jack style. And in that animation, we see General Grievous' invasion of Coruscant and Shaak Ti protecting the Chancellor. I was clapping.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, yes.
And they referenced Guerrera, too.
Yeah, they referenced Guerrera. You're so right.
And they do that in Rebels as well. And, like, it's crazy because I mentioned, I'm rewatching Rebels, and they had just referenced Guerrera in Rebels too, at the point where I'm at. So I'm like, yeah, they, like, Dave Filoni, like, he really, I love how there's a thread for all of
there's
this.
There's such a thread.
We always see the same people come back.
It's a shared universe. I mean, Rachel, as a writer, like, that is something that's so difficult to do. And also,
yeah.
But when you do it, there's such a massive payoff. All right.
Yeah.
Now, before they leave for Mandalore, we get this interaction that we've been alluding to the entire show. I was almost more excited about this. I didn't think we were going to get this. You've been wanting this the whole season.
Yes.
Anakin Skywalker saying goodbye to Snips, to Ahsoka, and giving her the two lightsabers. This is a moment we've read about in the Ahsoka Tano novel. This is a moment that I was curious how they were going to handle it. We know she gets two lightsabers, and they're blue. Oh my god. What was the emotion like just seeing him hand those to her, and also just all the clone army with the face paint of her, you know, facial structure. Give me all the thoughts.
Oh. So first of all, the fact that she said to the clones, "Don't call me Commander," and they kept doing it.
I know.
And then it was Obi-Wan who said, "Oh, well, Ahsoka's no longer a Commander." I'm like, Obi-Wan. And here's the thing is that, honestly, watching these moments, plural, Obi-Wan, I was like, okay, he needs to just go, because Anakin and the clones, they were the only ones treating her with respect.
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? Like, and then Anakin, I love how he was like, oh yeah, well, just give Ahsoka some of the troops and let her go off and do this. And he's the one who was speaking on her behalf. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, thank you. At least somebody is looking out for her. Yeah.
Exactly. And the level of respect from the clones there. Oh my gosh. And then, you know, so they make Rex the commander, and we get Ahsoka. One of them's a little smaller than the other, two lightsabers. And like you just said, this Rebels parallel, this is my last piece of media I think I have for the episode. So sorry. Thank you for bearing with me. Check this out. This is the image of Ahsoka looking at Anakin before they say goodbye in last night's episode, paralleled with the first image we get of Ahsoka fighting Darth Vader in Rebels. I mean, it's the same framing. It's the same framing, people.
My thought on this. Okay, so this is what I was thinking. Now, when we read the book Ahsoka, I'm trying to remember, she does get those two lightsabers back, right?
No, she doesn't.
They're new ones.
They're new ones. But so in Ahsoka, she buries them. She left them there.
Yeah, that I remembered, because what would have been really interesting is that if she had gotten those two lightsabers back, so like the ones that we see that Anakin gave her, when we see her in Rebels, when she's fighting Darth Vader, to me, it would have been very poetic if it had been the lightsabers that Anakin gave her. And I was like, oh, I wish that had been. But like, I thought I remembered in the book that she had
given. Well, in the book, what she alludes to, if I'm remembering correctly, is once Order 66 may or may not happen, mm-hmm. while she's on Mandalore, she had to convince them that she was maybe collateral damage, and she left
the lightsabers with Rex.
There.
Right. Yeah, with Rex.
We'll see how it plays out, I'm sure, but I think that's what it's safe to assume had happened. So they leave, and guess what? They straight into the battle. Like, I didn't think we were going to get any of the battle this episode. We are already mid-siege, and oh my gosh, the action sequences here are remarkable. I mean, the first one being, it's the invasion on the ships. Everyone has jetpacks. Ahsoka doesn't need a jetpack.
I thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And what I mean, it's such a fun sequence of her jumping around on all the ships. And
how she how she was like, you know, I beat you to Rex. And he's like, something's never changed. I was like, yes.
And when she saves the pilot, who's trapped in the driver's seat. And he's like, thanks, Commander, and just blasts off. It's so good. Also, Bo-Katan just being an ultimate badass and going like, what are we all waiting for? Let's start. Ooh, and you know, what was great about this was we get the parallel of the sky and then the ground, and we get to see the Mandalore soldiers who are draped in red, by the way. Like, what's so cool is the clones have that Ahsoka face paint kind of like sprayed on their masks as a sign of respect, and all the Mandalorians have the red Maul aesthetic on their armor.
Yes.
And some even have the horns. Like, what a cool detail to have. Oh my God, it's such good. And, so good.
Yeah. I just loved it. And, like, also, I just remember, you know, just I can't get Rebels out of my head, but when, you know, eventually we do see Rex again, and one of the things he stresses is that they all, like, his whole entire platoon hold the microchip out. So I'm like, okay, all these people, like, we're gonna see the clones that are not going to turn. We're seeing the ones who are actually still gonna be on her side.
I'm interested to see if they end up like showing that, because I was always a little confused how that goes down.
Yeah. But like, if you start to know that you're turning and then
Yeah, I mean, like, what? But, but they're on Mandalore mid fight. Again, the action is so good here, because what's interesting about this is we know these characters so well, and it's not just Ahsoka and Rex. It's like, I know some of these Mandalorians. Like, I know Bo-Katan. I know some of the enemy soldiers. So
Cody.
Like, yeah, you know, we know people. And I don't think Cody was at the Mandalore battle, but we knew him earlier. And it's just awesome. So we get there, and in the throne room is the current puppet of Maul, the Chancellor of Mandalore. And he isn't quite ready for the battle, but his armor was very reminiscent of one Boba Fett. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, he was all green.
I did, yeah.
Did you have a favorite part of this siege so far?
I don't know if I would say so far. Other, I mean, I have a favorite part, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part was Ahsoka's superhero landing, where she's on the ship right after she saves the pilot, jumps off, and you're like, what's going to happen here? And it's filmed in the most cinematic way of her doing, like, a somersault and then the ship exploding behind her and just, like, which... Oh, that's
the way that they animated the lightsabers, too. How fluid they just kind of moved, and the way that she moved. It's like, all... We've seen her train from a youngling. So it's like, it's just everything. Just seeing where she is now.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So then, you know, they take the first barrack, and they're now searching for Maul. And I think Bo-Katan has an interesting line where, like, we can't sustain a long-term siege. We just have to keep going forward, which is interesting. Yeah. They know their numbers, and they know that they have to be in and out very quick, because this is a whole planet they're invading. Even though they have this garrison of clones, they can't sustain this invasion. So they just got to go find Maul, and they get in there. Bo-Katan goes to that throne room with her Mandalorian soldiers, while Ahsoka and the clones check out, like, it was like a sewer, right? Like, they go into the sewers of Mandalore. And we get two really interesting sequences where Bo-Katan basically takes over the throne room and learns Maul wanted to draw the Jedi here, but it was the wrong Jedi.
Obi-Wan.
Rachel, when you heard that, what'd you think?
That it was absolutely connected to Palpatine, and that it was the plan to get one earlier. Anakin had said, oh, well, Ahsoka was supposed to leave because that was supposed to lead us to Maul. And, like, so now I'm thinking that the reality is that, what Palpatine was hoping is that it would be Obi-Wan going to get Maul, and that would further isolate Anakin. But I think it still worked in it. I still think it still worked in Palpatine's favor that it was Ahsoka. Because Anakin probably would have, this is speculation.
I think you're right there, because I think following the timeline of Revenge of the Sith, that would mean Palpatine, because the last time we saw Maul, he was fighting Palpatine. Palpatine said, I have other uses for you. So you're totally right. This is definitely Palpatine overseeing all this. He would probably, so following that line of thinking, he would have wanted to split Anakin and Obi-Wan up, so that Anakin's the only one going to rescue him off of Grievous's ship.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan is stuck in Mandalore.
Preoccupied.
I think you're so right.
And that was the whole plan. I mean, it worked in Palpatine's favor anyway, because Ahsoka returning probably would have put a damper to his plans anyway. But I think the real goal was Obi-Wan.
Entirely. I completely agree. Yeah. Wow. That's a great point. And I think... I also just think, on a political level of Mandalore, having them break that treaty. Once the invasion starts, they're like, you're breaking, like, hundreds of years of our treaty to not...
Yeah.
Yeah, really interesting. I completely agree with you. I think you're right. I'm going into, now, Ahsoka's end. You know, Bo-Katan tries to call Ahsoka, saying it's a trap. Which... Classic Star Wars.
It's always a trap.
It's always a trap.
It's always a trap.
And I have a bad feeling about this, because she falls right into the trap. and yeah. it's the sewers. What do you think of this sequence?
This is one of my favorite parts of the siege that I couldn't say earlier, where literally, and this is so typical Maul, he stepped forward, the lighting across his face, the red, like, poking through it, and he literally, like, very calmly says, you know, that he was expecting the other Jedi.
I was expecting Kenobi. Why yes. are you here? Oh, my God.
I thought that was so cinematic, and the way, like, the quality of animation in that moment, the quality of the writing, the quality of the shot, everything about that moment. God. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't put it better myself. It's
yeah.
And I didn't expect to get Maul this episode. I just think I was expecting a slow roll into this. The pacing was fast, but it fit. And
yeah.
Oh, it just left me on such a high. And we hear Ahsoka's lightsabers just through the credits. Did you notice that? Like, like, it just was...
I'm
so in. I really do hope they connect all four of these episodes into one movie. They did something similar with Darth Maul when they brought him back, and they released it as... They just stitched them all together, and they released it as, like, a direct-to-DVD movie.
Yeah.
I think they gotta do the same here. You know, that's the episode. I just kind of wanted to, like, open the floor. Any other aspect of this episode that you just were completely floored by that you want to bring up? Or we can even get into predictions for next season. But
I mean, maybe predictions, because I think we mentioned the moments that really stood out to me.
Let's get into predictions. So we got 3 episodes left total of the Clone Wars. It should also be said, we got our final trailer ever for Star Wars Clone Wars this week.
Yeah,
which a lot of the footage was actually from this episode in that trailer, but we got some stuff.
We got it.
Rachel, you've been on point with a lot of the predictions. Any predictions for the last 3?
Yeah, I think that now Ahsoka has seen Anakin for the last time as Anakin. I think that that's it. I think she might feel him when he falls. I think that's something that we haven't seen, because obviously this is supposed to be about the perspective of what we have not seen in episode 3. So I think that Ahsoka, will be very busy trying to defeat Maul. I think Order 66 happens. But I think that she will feel it as Anakin is starting to die and turn into Vader. But then also, I think that we're going to get some of the questions answered from Ahsoka, the novel, where we saw, you know, Mandalore burn, and we saw the beginning of this fight with Maul. I think that they're going to finish the fight. I think we're going to see exactly what happens and what happens and how Maul escapes, because we do know that eventually Ahsoka and Maul cross paths again and he's alive. So,
I mean, hey, it's a great prediction. I there's also one more detail I want to throw out there. This week, Sam Witwer, who voices Darth Maul, he also voices Palpatine in the Clone Wars and Rebel series. He's one of my favorite actors, one of the best voice actors, and he's a massive Star Wars fan. You can watch him play trivia, Star Wars trivia. He knows this stuff.
That's awesome.
He's the best. This guy, so he saw all 4 episodes this week. And on Tuesday, he was tweeting out, because he'd only seen the first 3 of The Siege of Mandalore. And I'm going to read his tweets right here, because this got me more excited than the trailer did. He said, "I just saw 3/4 of The Siege of Mandalore, ... And then an hour later, an hour passed, he goes, "It may be the best thing we've done."
Wow.
Another hour passes. I tweet at him, "Sam, what's an equivalent Bruce Springsteen song to describe these 4 episodes?" And he replied, "Jesse's Girl." Oh, wait, that's Rick Springfield.
Oh, my God.
Really fun.
First of all, that's amazing.
First of all, yeah. But second of all, Jesse's Girl's a hit. And I think he was saying this is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
And then the last thing he tweeted was... Oh, my gosh. It's crazy how this stuff just gets me so hyped. The last thing he tweeted was, "I just saw the 4th episode. My previous statement stands."
Wow. Oh, Oh my god, I can't wait.
I mean,
I'm so excited.
This is so, it just feels special, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
It does. It's, yeah.
I'm my last prediction, and then we got to get out of here. My final prediction will be this. I'm a little worried that how this is going to fit in to Revenge of the Sith. You know, Rogue One is a good example of a movie that bleeds right into A New Hope. It feels very natural. I'm curious how it's going to stand with, like, that interaction between Anakin and Ahsoka and then her just feeling so absent from Revenge of the Sith. I'm curious how they're going to address that, or if they will. Maybe it'll feel fine.
Yeah.
But I'm predicting, I predict this. You know, Obi-Wan has this line where he goes, I killed Maul once, and he survived. So you best capture him. I think they're going to capture Maul. I think they're going to capture him. And then when Order 66 happens, he's going to escape.
That makes sense.
I just, well, like you said in Rebels, you know, he is at this Sith temple. So I'm very curious to see just where we leave off with him. Because in the book, they say he escaped.
Yeah.
Or he flees.
And then the only other thing is that when you see him again in Rebels with Ahsoka, it could just be that she is very, you know, hurt and jaded by this point. When she is there, her reaction to him is not that bad. Like,
right.
Not to get into too many, like, it ends up being terrible what he does, but at first, her reaction to him is not as, like, oh my god, it's Maul, as you would think it would
be. Unlike Vader.
And so maybe...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be a sign of how this resolves, where she just knows she can take him.
That's what I was thinking.
And...
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to see. But, you know, guys, that was our Clone Wars after show. We love this show. Shout out to people in the chat real quick. We got the Zeno Rotto and Vincent Rock 124 just shouting out Commander Rex a lot. as well as Jameer Stewart.
That's awesome.
It's time for us to know the story of Darth Vader in a Disney series. Wow, that's a great statement.
That'd be awesome.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining me. I get so excited each week to talk about this show with you, and I have a feeling the next 3 weeks are going to be some of the most emotional filled. some really quick news and gossip. Other than that Sam Witwer tweet, they have moved the release date of the final episode of The Clone Wars. It was going to be Friday, May 7th. They pushed it up to May the 4th. So the final episode of The Clone Wars will be on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. So exciting. So stay tuned for that, guys, because one of our after shows will not be on a Friday. It'll be a little earlier. As long as it works for everyone's schedule. But thank you so much, Rachel. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. I'm also on the Outlander show as well. I'm a huge reader, and so we talk about the shows and the books on our after show.
Definitely check that after show out, guys. They do a really good job producing it. And I'm Ryan Nilsen. You can find me at Ryan Nilsen, RyNilsen. You can check out all the tweets of me just freaking out last night, as well as this morning upon rewatch. And check out Star Wars News every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to get Rachel on there soon just to talk all Clone Wars. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, may the Force be with you. Please be safe. Wash your hands. And thank you so much for tuning in to our Clone Wars after show. Comment below your thoughts on the Siege of Mandalore. Thank you so much for being a loyal and trusting Star Wars fan.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.